The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 10, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on January 13th, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, text number 10.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tejam
satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite.
To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence. And yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person is always engaging himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna. And that work should be done, how? With love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress in the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him.
Om Ajnati Madandashya Gananjana Shalakaya Sh Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam.
So, you know something? Krishna is really kind. Just see how kind he is. He gives the living entity all facility. From within the heart, he gives him all encouragement, all blessings, all guidance, how to come to him. Krishna does not want the living entity to remain deep in the dense darkness of delusion. He wants that every single living entity shall come out of his entanglement within the modes of material nature and come back to his eternal position in the spiritual world. If the child runs away from home, is not the parent always thinking, "Where is my child? Where is my child?" You see. And if the child is discovered, then it's the greatest happiness for the parent. You see. Someone finds the child. So, Krishna's devotees, therefore, they go out preaching. They take the holy names, they take the prasadam, they take the books. And they go out everywhere to reclaim lost children of the Lord, to bring them back to their father. Krishna is always there within the heart, beckoning the living being. And he appears externally in the form of Guru, Vaishnavas, and scriptures, so that every living being can get the opportunity to reinstate himself or herself in the eternal relationship of servitorship with that all-attractive, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowing, all-wealthy, all-famous Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who engages in many varieties of sweet pastimes with his devotees in the transcendental world and different rasas. Krishna is there. He wants us back much more than we want to go back. That means we are bewildered, actually. If we were not so bewildered, we would go back immediately. But we are thinking this material nature has something to offer to us. That is our illusory position within Maya. We are thinking this material nature has something. So, how do we come out of that illusion? That's why sadhu sangha, the association of devotees, is very, very important. Because what do we do in the association of devotees? We study the words of Bhagavad Gita to remind ourselves not to be carried away by the illusory energy. And then, while we associate with each other, we remind each other, "My dear Prabhu, please don't be carried away by Maya. Please remember to chant your rounds. Please remember to come to the temple. Please remember to come to the arti. Please remember to come to the class. Please remember to do your service." In this way, we remind each other, you see. If we come together, then we can help each other to get out of Maya. There is one very nice saying: "United, we stand. And divided, we fall. So this Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it is a movement of the utmost importance, the topmost importance this movement has. Because this is that one place in the world where pure devotional service, according to the instructions of the great acharyas, is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Ghosh Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asta Tarasadashi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ghosh Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, in this way, the great, great acharyas, they have carefully handed down this system of pure devotional service. And that great treasure, that great wealth has been given here to ISKCON. ISKCON now is the torchbearer. The torch has been passed now from these great acharyas. The torch has been passed down to ISKCON. So it is up to us now, the members of ISKCON, to read very carefully the books of Srila Prabhupada so that we can understand exactly, precisely, what are the instructions of the Lord, so that we can carefully follow them out, carefully carry them out, follow them, and carefully instruct others how to carry them out, how to follow them. If in this way, if we were very, very loyal to the predecessor acharyas, then they will shower their full blessings upon us. The full blessings of all the acharyas will come on the head of any devotee who carefully follows these instructions. We simply have to be serious about becoming the pure devotees. Ahaitaki apratiyata yayatma supersediti. That devotional service must be unmotivated and it must be uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So we have to master this art. And Prabhupada personally instructed me like that also. Unbroken, unmotivated devotional service. He one time wrote me. It was an amazing. I asked Prabhupada some questions. And he answered my questions also very nicely. But then he stated, if one serves the Lord 24 hours a day with complete sincerity, it's the same point of this verse actually, the Prophet wrote me in his letter. If you serve Krishna 24 hours a day, you don't fall asleep in Bhagavad Gita class. If you serve 24 hours a day, with complete sincerity of attitude, what will happen? Prabhupada said, Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. How would you like if Krishna personally came? Avinesh, Ram. How would you like it if Krishna personally came and gave you his darshan? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You speak English? Yes? You understand English? So, how do we qualify ourselves? This is the verse. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love. So what does constant mean? Does it mean 23 hours and 59 minutes a day? No. That's not enough. 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds a day is not enough. There's a gap in there of 1 second. Is it? If for even 1 second we turn our mind away from Krishna, then that is defect in our consciousness. You see? That is defect. What if we happen to leave our body at that second? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam shajam jante kalaivalam tam tam vivaiti kaunteya sadata bhavavavita. What happens at that moment when your mind goes somewhere else, you leave your body? Do you think he will go back to Godhead? No way. Whatever your desire will carry you to your next body. So therefore we must desire Krishna at every minute. You see? This is intelligence. We must train the mind how to always remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. This means you must become your own psychoanalyst. That you're observing your own mind. Is my mind Krishna conscious right now? Yes or no? If it's not, you got to get it back on track. Come on, mind, you're going off the track. What does Krishna say? Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastaram tatastato nayamyatad atmanyevivashangnayam. From whatever or wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must suddenly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we must observe the mind. Is it Krishna conscious? Or is it being a little rascal and doing all kinds of naughty things? Is it? Listen up. Hey, pay attention to the class. You're not here to chit-chat. You're here to hear, okay? When you sit in the class, you must hear the speaker. Not little side conversations, sign language going on. You have plenty of time to chit-chat after class. But in class, you must focus your mind on what's being spoken. The uncontrolled mind is the devil's workshop. So would you like the devil to set up a workshop in your mind? My dear devil, move in. You can set up camp in my heart. Come on. Who wants the devil to set up a workshop in their heart? As soon as you let your mind become idle, you are inviting the devil to set up a workshop in your house, in your heart. So therefore, we should never let the mind just wander willy-nilly all over the universe. You see. We must grab the mind and say, okay, mind, the program today is Krishna consciousness. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we say, okay, mind, today you are going to be purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours. Is that all right? If the mind says no, he says, too bad. Whether you like it or not, you are going to be Krishna conscious today all day long. In this way, we have to be, show the mind who is boss. The mind is like a child and the mother is the intelligence. So we have to be mother. We have to be like the mother for the mind. It's very interesting how Prabhupada here in this purport talks about buddhi yoga. We know that buddhi means intelligence. But yet buddhi yoga is defined as action in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada answers why. Because action in Krishna consciousness is the highest intelligence. Sometimes we are asked, how does one get intelligence? And here the answer is given. We were discussing earlier, from where does the intelligence come? And here Prabhupada has answered that question. If we act in Krishna consciousness, then the intelligence is there automatically. hey, why not this little girl sit on this other side so he has no one to chit-chat with? Yeah, you can come all the way over here. No, no, you get up, stand up. Now walk all the way over here on the other end, yeah. Okay, that's far enough. Yeah, that's good. Thank you very much. I don't mean to inconvenience you, but we're trying to help him pay attention. And he's more attracted to you than he is the Bhagavad Gita. So we're trying to help him to get sober here. Thank you. So, the Krishna consciousness process is so nice. If we simply think about it and try to understand it, we can get some theoretical understanding. But we don't really get intelligence until we put it into practice. When you actually put Krishna consciousness into practice, then you get full intelligence. That means realization. When we put the philosophy into action, then we get realization. We develop an intuitive sense of how to connect with Krishna at every minute. Just like there are many different rules and regulations given in the scriptures. But how do you apply them according to time, place, and circumstance? If you simply sit down with a committee and try to figure it out by discussion, it would be very difficult to do that. But if a devotee is sincerely trying to serve Krishna and please Krishna at every minute, please Guru and please Krishna, then Krishna and Guru give him the intelligence how to apply the rules and regulations perfectly in every situation. So this program of being active in Krishna consciousness is very important. The Mayavadi philosophers, they simply want to sit down and do nothing. They want to be inactive. But in their inactivity, so-called inactivity, they're actually very active. Their mind is going on with so many material thoughts. Just by their breathing, they're killing so many microbial germs. So even in their state of inactivity, so-called inactivity, the Mayavadi philosophers are karmically still active. But the Vaishnava, who's very active, he's going here, going there, preaching, opening temple, distributing books, making devotees, distributing prasadam, promoting Krishna consciousness. Even though he's a super active person, even more active than a materialist, he is, in terms of karma, he's perfectly inactive. He has no reaction from his actions. Therefore, is a state of pure inactivity. This is why Krishna says that he describes one who sees action in inaction and inaction in action. The Vaishnava, although very active, he is inactive. And the Mayavadi, although apparently inactive, he's very active karmically. So, by taking very seriously to this path of bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga, we will get all intelligence, we will get all facility, we will get all blessings from Guru, from Vaishnavas, from the previous Acharyas, from Krishna, from Lord Chaitanya. We will get all blessings how to be fully absorbed in the sweetest happiness at every minute of our existence. We'll be able to do the highest good for every living entity throughout the universe. This is called pure love. When we become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we are doing the highest welfare for all living beings at every minute. And it is a common sense. The more you can serve others, the more you become happy. We have practical experience. When we do something to help a lot of people, we feel good. Therefore, it's logical to understand that if by doing pure devotional service, you can do the highest good for every single living entity throughout the totality of existence, that must be a state of happiness which is indescribable, inconceivable. You see? So this is what we are teaching in this Krishna consciousness movement. We are teaching our members how to enter into that state of happiness. Brahma saukyam tamnantam. How to enter into that state of happiness, you see. That we are teaching. So we are very happy that you, nice boys and girls, men and women, that you have come here to learn the science of Krishna. Now, take it most seriously. It's your only duty. I must become simply the pure devotee of Krishna. Have no other agenda. Whatever it takes now to become completely 100% absorbed bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga, let me do that. Make this your determination, and you will completely perfect the human existence. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, could you kindly explain more about association? What is proper association and what is not?
Yes. Because
different people could have different understanding what is association.
Yes, association means Krishna conscious association. If I associate with devotees and we engage in mundane topics, that is not transcendental association. Sometimes neophyte devotees get together. Instead of talking about Krishna, they talk about mundane topics. So that is not actual devotee association. Devotee association we studied last night. Much chitta madgata prano bodhiyantak parasparam tatayantashtamam. What is that? The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I was on one traveling party. It was a very nice traveling party, but there was one brahmachari and I. We decided we would be Krishna Katha buddies. That every day during Prasad we would sit together and we would just talk about Krishna. That was our vow that we made. We will find some way to discuss Krishna. And it was so sweet, nice relationship. That's the meaning of devotee association. To hear and chant about Krishna, to serve Krishna. Devotee association means when two people agree to put Krishna in the center. That could be two brahmacharis, two madhajis, it could be a husband and wife. Doesn't matter materially what the relationship is. But if two people say, okay, the center of our relationship will be Krishna now, and that's called devotee association. When two or more people agree to make Krishna the center of their basis, make Krishna the basis of their interacting with each other, it's all going to be on the basis of pleasing Krishna. You see, that's devotee association. No other consideration, no material motive. You see?
Guru Maharaj, but what is a polite way or a proper way to respond if other devotees try to engage you in these mundane topics?
In mundane topics, that means they are a neophyte devotee. So we try to be very kind to the neophyte devotees and help them come out of their neophyte mentality. The expert preacher can take any mundane topic and transform it. Someone may talk about politics or the weather or, you know, sports, you know, so many things. The devotee is very expert at finding the way to connect anything, to bring, to elevate it to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So that's the ideal thing. Turn it around, transcendentalize it. Instead of walking away, well, this is mundane, I want nothing to do with this. No. Be very kind and say, yes, but... That's the best thing. Transcendentalize it. Show the devotee how to, show by example how to be Krishna conscious. Take his mundane statement and say yes, but, and then elevate it. Questions more? Yes. So, this from, you're asking what is the relationship between Satya Sai Baba and Krishna? Yes? Yeah. I remember one time, there was another Baba, his name was Meher Baba. He was very popular with the hippies back in the 60s in America. So one hippie, he came to the temple and he asked Srila Prabhupada, who is Meher Baba? He asked Prabhupada that question. That was a popular poster they used to put up. Who is Meher Baba? That's how they would advertise him. So I knew Meher Baba was a bogus incarnation. He was falsely claiming. He used to say, I am Krishna, I am Rama, I am the Ancient One. He completely bogus cheater, presenting himself as God. So I was very curious how Prabhupada was going to respond when this boy, this hippie boy, said, who is Meher Baba? So Prabhupada answered very wonderfully. He said, there are so many bogus Babas. Just try to find out who is Krishna. That is sufficient. And that boy actually surrendered and became a devotee. Prabhupada was so potent. That boy surrendered and became a disciple of Prabhupada after that. So your question reminded me of that. How do we understand this Satya Sai Baba? I actually saw one video of his number one in his organization, the head of his organization. So the head of his organization claims that Satya Sai Baba is God himself, which is simply a bunch of bogus nonsense. That person is not God. Just because he can do some mystic yoga doesn't make him God. So there are many people around the world who think that he is God. We have seen in the U.S. also, there are many foolish Indian people who think that Satya Sai Baba is God. These persons are very, very misled people. It's actually very sad to see such persons who have been so much duped by a person who's actually known for being a pedophile, a molester of boys. I've seen the video, he was victimizing one young boy and telling him to keep quiet for illicit sex. And this person is, and finally the boy revealed to his parents what was going on, and they course, they left the organization. They've been spreading the word now. But this person is actually a debauchee. He has some power to deceive people, but he is a gross materialist, number one. He's lower than a pig, actually. He's rascal. So if someone is fooled by them, by such personalities, it's very difficult to bring them out of that. It's very difficult. It may not be possible to directly confront them. Try to give them Krishna consciousness somehow or other. Give them a taste of Krishna's names. These people like to chant the kirtan. So let them, engage them in chanting Hare Krishna kirtan. They like, I know the Satya Sai Baba people, they love kirtan. So if you engage them in kirtan, give them prasadam, that will purify them. Right, they chant Krishna and Ram, they think these are other names for Satya Sai Baba, is what they do, yeah. That's why they have to come and chant Hare Krishna with us. Don't you go and chant with them, because they're always thinking, you know, Satya Sai Baba, Hare Krishna, Hare Baba, you know. Something like that. They're thinking he is, so you get them to come and chant with us, that will purify them. But don't go to chant with them. Or if you are with them, then you must lead the kirtan. If you can go to their ashram and say, I will, and lead the chanting, don't you follow their chanting. And you, the leader has to be in the pure bhakti mood. And then all the hearers will become uplifted. If they will let you go to their ashram and lead them in kirtan, then that's good for them. But you have to be very strong that you don't get poisoned by their association. Yeah, it's a very sad state of affairs. If what he's doing is illegal. Anyone who falsely poses as God or falsely poses as Guru, they are the greatest criminal. Such persons as Satya Sai Baba are going to the darkest region of the universe and they are taking all of their followers with them. It's a great crime what such persons do. But the government has no intelligence how to distinguish between a bogus guru and a genuine spiritual master. In the field of medicine, the government is very strict. If someone has not graduated from medical school and they are posing as a doctor, the government will arrest such a person. You are a quack. You cannot do this. The government is very strict to make sure that medical doctors are properly qualified. And when it comes to guru, they have no intelligence to understand who is a bona fide guru and who is bogus. So since the government is not doing its job, then we must do that work ourselves. We must educate people how to distinguish between the bona fide spiritual master and the charlatan, the cheater. We have to educate people. The bona fide spiritual master will never claim that he is God, nor will he allow his disciples to propagate that he is God. There was one time in ISKCON when some devotees who were very foolish and misled, there was four sannyasi devotees actually, in the early days of our movement, who got this foolish idea that Prabhupada was God. And they started propagating this. They said, they told all the devotees in ISKCON that Prabhupada is Krishna. And if you don't accept this, you should leave the movement. When Prabhupada heard what they were doing, he banned them from the temples. They weren't allowed, he sent them away from ISKCON. He would not allow them to go to any ISKCON temple. They could not go to an ISKCON temple. They were totally banned from ISKCON temples. But Prabhupada mercifully gave them the chance to rectify themselves. Each one of them had to go out on his own and open 10 temples. Then after having done the penance of opening 10 temples, then they could come back. That was the punishment for the aparadha they had committed of propagating that the guru is God. So I have personally seen the video on the internet where the head of the Satya Sai Baba organization is propagating that he is God himself. So if Satya Sai Baba was a bona fide spiritual master, he would immediately kick that person out of his organization. What are you doing making this false information that I'm God? You see? If he was a bona fide spiritual master, that's what he would do. The guru will never claim that he is God. Even Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, if anyone said you were God, he would block his ears. He wouldn't accept it. He was teaching by example. Even he was God himself, he would not allow that to be propagated. So we can understand that Satya Sai Baba, he's simply a bogus, rascal, cheater, number one. Kick in the face with boot. That's the program for him. I would have to see what are his teachings. We don't blindly reject anyone. The one that you mentioned, I could speak about because I've personally seen what he's up to. And my wife also, her brother had personal darshan with him. So we've seen the cheating, we have firsthand accounts, we know what sort of cheating he's doing. This other person, I'd have to, you bring to me what are his teachings, and then I can comment. Because there are great saintly persons, and there are rascals. Both types are there. So that I cannot say. But anyone who is claiming to be God or allowing his followers to claim that he's God, they are bogus. That's a thing. Next question.
Just 3 days ago, I found in my hotel the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then there was, I haven't read it, and I found that on the first pages there is some quotes. And for example, what the Bible says about, what Jesus says about himself. And Jesus says, I and my Father, we are one. How to understand such a quote?
Yeah. We read in the Bible where Christ says, I and my Father are one. And this philosophy is in keeping with Vaishnava philosophy. Achintya bhedabhed tattva. We say that the living entity and the Supreme Lord are simultaneously one and different. So to understand that Christ is one with God does not mean that he is God himself, but it means that he is in perfect harmony with God. And just like on a guitar, if all the strings are properly tuned, then they harmonize with each other very nicely. They form one beautiful chord. But if the strings are out of tune, then it is called dissonance. In music, there are two terms, consonance and dissonance. Consonance is when the strings are properly tuned so they vibrate very nicely to make one beautiful chord. Chord is a group of notes sounded together which vibrate sympathetically with each other in a beautiful way. But dissonance is when they clash, you see, when they're not harmonized with each other. So that unity that Christ is speaking of doesn't mean that he and God are one and the same. Because he prays also in the Bible, our Father who art in heaven. Is he talking to himself? No. The distinction is made, father and son. So this philosophy that the father and the son are one is the same as the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, Achintya, Bheda Bheda Tattva. The absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. The father and son are one in purpose. Just like sometimes we see there's a company, Motilal and Sons. Some shop I saw in here. He hands you the cashier shell. What's the difference? $1 million. If the DHL man comes, he says, the billionaire has sent me to give you this $1 million cashier's check. Will you reject it? No, I only take it directly from his hand. No. You will take the $1 billion. Or a million. A billion is even better. The trillionaire gave me $1 billion. You see, that'd be even better. Yes. So whether the father directly gives or it comes through the messenger, the son, it is the same thing. So in that sense, they are one. But they are different in that here is the father and here is the son. They are different. We also say the spiritual master is God. Not that he's God, good at potency, shakti. He potency of God. He is the DHL man. That full shakti that's coming from God, it is being the master. Otherwise, how is this guru able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Krishna shakti vinanai tara pravartana. Unless a person has Krishna shakti, he cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, the bona fide spiritual master, he is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Why? Because he has shakti of Krishna. So, because he is carrying Krishna shakti, therefore he is considered as good as Krishna. Whether you get Krishna directly or you get guru, it is the same shakti, the same $1 billion. So, next question. Yeah.
Maharaj, you discussed that you should be 24 hours Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when a devotee is walking outside and there you can remember Krishna all the time because you have to do your work which is related to Krishna consciousness?
If a devotee is not engaging himself 24 hours in Krishna consciousness, what is it? Working, yes. So, it is stated that one should be in Krishna consciousness 24 hours. So what if somebody is working a job outside? Well, then all you have to do is do that job for Krishna. Isn't that what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? Yat karoshi, yadashnashi, yadjahosi, dvasi. Whatever you do, do it for me. So, if you are doing that job for Krishna, then that is Krishna consciousness. But if he is not Krishna conscious, that means he wants to keep the result for himself. And that's the difference. He wants to take the money and go to some mundane movie. You see, buy some DVD, mundane DVD, and enjoy the senses. That person cannot be Krishna conscious. One must take one's hard-earned money and understand this money is all coming by the grace of God. Therefore, every penny must be spent in a Krishna-conscious way. Whether it's personal need or donating to ISKCON, every penny must be spent in a Krishna-conscious way. And then that work becomes transcendentalized. It becomes transcendentalized. And then you're Krishna conscious. Sometimes we hear, actually in Fiji, I remember, many years ago, I was leaving and there was one devotee there at the airport to see us off. And he said, are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? I remember someone asked me that. I don't remember who, one of the devotees in Fiji. I find a serious flaw in that question. How can one be a part-time devotee? Does that mean when a devotee goes to the office, he becomes a karmi? Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know? He rubs off his tilak and pulls out a pack of cigarettes. Now I'm away from the temple. Now I get to be a karmi. Goes to McDonald's, you know, has a beer, visits a prostitute, and then comes back to the temple and puts on tilak and a dhoti. You see? If you're Krishna conscious, you're actually a devotee. That means whether you're at the temple or whether you're at your office, you're Krishna conscious. You see? Bhakti Vinod Thakur, was he a part-time devotee? But he worked for, he was an employee for the British government. That means he's a part-time devotee? Because he wasn't living in an ashram? Can anybody here want to say that Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a part-time devotee? He wasn't a devotee when he was at work? You see? That would be a great aparad, Vaishnava aparad. Or Bhakti Vinod Thakur, part-time devotee. So, the householder who's working outside, he has to have very good sadhana every morning. Not sleep late, thinking, well, I'm not in the ashram, so nobody can say anything. Well, guess what? All the demigods are observing what you're doing. Krishna is observing what you're doing. You can't get away with being in Maya just because you're not... You know, you're not living as a brahmachari at an ashram somewhere. Everything is being seen. One must sincerely try to utilize one's time and energy for Krishna as much as possible. So I recommend to my students that you rise early in the morning. And the best japa is before sunrise. Rise early in the morning before the sun comes up. You can always take a nap later on if you, you know, to make up for the getting up early if you need to. We get up early in the morning when it's very calm and very peaceful and supercharge yourself with Krishna consciousness. With those, your battery charger, your bead bag, charge your Krishna consciousness. 16 rounds before you leave the house, you see. And then when you go to that office, you'll be ready to conquer the whole world because you got 16 good rounds under your belt, you see. You get to that job, you can just look them right in the eye and say, Hare Krishna. I remember years ago I was working job, and one day I said, I'm going to wear tilak to this job. So I wore the tilak to there, and I was doing my work. I was very enthusiastic that day because I had tilak on. And the boss noted there was the difference. How I was performing so much better on the job that day. He said, I do not know what that is on your forehead, but you must wear it every day. So, we simply have to supercharge ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Make our home into an ashram. Just like temple is a Krishna atmosphere, we have to make our home also completely Krishna conscious atmosphere. And then we will become supercharged with Krishna consciousness. That the temple will become supercharged and the home will become supercharged. And then we can invite people to our home and have programs and they'll be amazed by the atmosphere in our own home. Wow, this is the most amazing home I've ever been in. Can I make my home like this too? Will you teach me how I can make my home like this also? You see? So yes, I'll be glad to teach you. We'll come to your home and we'll do a kirtan and we'll teach you how to make your home into a temple also. You see? So it's not if I'm working on the outside, I cannot be Krishna conscious. Apratiyata means there is no material circumstance which can impede your Krishna consciousness. Whether you're an employee, whether you're a worker, whether you're a business tycoon, or you're the prime minister, or you're a simple brahmacharya living in the ashram, every single situation can be utilized to be Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness. One simply has to have the desire as described in this verse. And then Krishna will give you all intelligence how to do that. For a person who is offering everything in the service of Krishna, when he goes to his job on Monday morning, he will see the energy of Krishna. He will see, oh, here is XYZ Corporation. It is the energy of Krishna. It is emanating from Krishna, and Krishna is within every square inch of XYZ Corporation. He will see his boss, and he will say, oh, this boss is very expert at keeping working me hard all day long. You see? That is his ability to keep me working hard all day long, that is Krishna. Doesn't Krishna say that in the Bhagavad Gita? I am the ability in man. So even in his own boss who's keeping him busy, 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 working, working, squeezing all the energy out of the worker, the devotee can see, this is his expertise, this is the manifestation of Krishna. So in this way, in every circumstance, in every situation, one can become the pure devotee of Krishna, fully absorbed in his service. There's no impediment. Simply a matter of, do you have a burning desire to become a pure devotee? That's all. If you have that burning desire to wake up, then Krishna will empower you to be super enlivened by every word of the class. So you wouldn't want to miss even one single word of the class, you see. Any other questions? Everyone is now satisfied. All questions are been asked. All right. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.